Got an itch? Cough? Pain? The doctor is in. Dr. Michael Smith answers your questions. You can ask by emailing your question or going to the Healthy Talk page on RadioMD.com. Listen, learn, and live a better life. And send questions. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com.
All right. I love this segment. So let's just get right into it. I have five questions. Hopefully I'll get through them all. First question, what's more accurate for testing hormones, saliva or blood? Great question. Well, okay. I personally use blood. I believe blood is the more reliable way to test hormones in general, okay? Now, there are some exceptions to that. Let me give you an example. Estrogen and all the different estrogen metabolites. There are many different forms of estrogen, and that's actually better in urine, not saliva. So I personally always start with blood for a nice general hormone profile for men and women. Blood, it gives me the information I want. It's reliable. I know how to interpret it. And that brings up a point. The one thing about blood testing of hormones is it's not only reliable, we know how to interpret the numbers, right? We still don't always know what some saliva numbers mean or even urinary numbers mean, but we know and understand from in a clinical setting, in a clinical application, what blood levels mean. So I always start with blood. And then for some of those other hormones that get metabolized a lot, like estrogen, I like urine. I don't personally use saliva. I know, for instance, that even just how you collect the saliva, whether you spit into a little vial or whether you swab your cheek, you can have different levels. And if there's any blood totally messes it up as well. So until I think the saliva collecting technique gets better, and when we just understand what those numbers mean, I stick with blood and then urine. So hopefully that helps out there. It's a big question because it really depends on the hormones you're talking about, but blood first, then urine. Okay, number two. Why do I have ridges in my nails? Oh, that's a good question. There's a lot of different reasons why we might have different types of holes, divots. Ridges themselves, usually the horizontal ridges, might indicate some iron issues, mineral issues. Even there's some studies. I did an article for the Life Extension magazine. Gosh, it must have been maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, where I talked about ridges in the nail and talked about that there's some link to metabolic syndrome, some fatty acid metabolism problems. So, your nails, your skin, it really is kind of your eyes. I do believe that, those are windows into what's going on inside in the deeper organs and stuff. So, generally speaking, the first thing most doctors would think about with ridges would be some of the minerals, as I mentioned, iron. So you might want to do a nice maybe nutrient profile, amino acid profile, just to see where some deficiencies are and where you can correct them. And then it wouldn't hurt to do a metabolic syndrome workup, your basic fasting glucose, insulin. You want to at least get those things, hemoglobin A1C. You probably also would want to check as well. Number three, this question I get a lot. I know a lot of the Life Extension advisors get this a lot. Should I stop all supplements before surgery? Okay, now, the technical answer to this would be no. You only really have to stop the ones that we call, quote, blood thinning, end quote, right? Of course, there's really no such thing as thinning your blood. What that means is there are some supplements you take that can prevent you from clotting blood. That's what we mean by thinning blood. It means your blood doesn't clot as well. And you definitely don't want that when you're going into surgery, right? And there's a whole list. You can find this on different websites, right? I know at Life Extension we have it, and other places. University of Michigan, I was just on their site doing some research, and they had a nice list of blood thinning supplements. Most medical centers and universities will have that kind of information. but it's a long list and it can be confusing. So, you know, I actually do tell people, well, here's what the easiest thing, so we don't have to worry about it. Stop all supplements, including hormones, 1 week before, and then you can start back up, assuming everything's fine, a week later. That's the non-technical answer. It's the easy way to do it. And that way we're not having to worry about lists and, you know, what supplements maybe you forget and then you keep taking it and then you bleed easier. So I don't know. It's just easier to stop everything. So to answer the question, should I stop all supplements before surgery? Yes. It's just easier that way. We're not worrying about it. Definitely got to stop those blood thinning ones. Go check out some of those lists. At the top of my head, fish oils have to be stopped. Vitamin E, vitamin C, any of the spices, capsaicin, curcumin, bergamot, all of those spices that we're doing more and more. Garlic is a common one. Those all need to be stopped. Pomegranate, resveratrol, quercetin. I mean, it goes on. So just find the list. But look, see, right there, it's already, the list is already growing. Just stop everything for a week. It's not that bad. You're going to be okay. All right, question number four. I think I'm doing pretty good on time here. Question number four. Is it necessary? Oh, this one got snuck in on me. I didn't want to answer this one, but I know who wrote this on my piece of paper. Is it necessary to drink 8 glasses of water a day? I got to be careful how I answer this because some people really, this can be a hot topic for people. I have to answer what I believe to be true. No, you don't. There's no research, there's no conclusive evidence in any peer-reviewed publication that 8 or whether it's 6, I don't even know the numbers people use now, whether it's 6 glasses, 8 glasses, whatever, there's no conclusive evidence anywhere that a specific number of glasses of water does anything for you. It's really about staying hydrated. There is something to be said about if you're thirsty, drink. You know, and for most people, you know, a glass with each meal, maybe a glass in between meals, you're probably up to 5 or 6 anyway. So 6 to 8 glasses a day might be the right amount, but some people might need more, some people probably less. So it's really about whether you're thirsty or not. There's just, I know people don't like it. I've had heated conversations with people about this. You know, that the they just really jump all over this. They say, well, it has to be 8 glasses a day. That's been shown to, no, it hasn't. There's really no, unless there's been something the past year, I guess, I maybe so. And if you have some research showing me that 8 glasses a day definitely does, you know, these three things shown in good peer review, send me the link. Let me check it out. But as of right now, I don't think there's any solid conclusive evidence that a certain number, certain glasses a day, whatever that number may be, it does anything for you. It's just really about staying hydrated, you know. And if you're thirsty, drink, right? I mean, and I know it sounds silly, but your body has incredible feedback mechanisms. It'll tell you what you need. So, no, I don't think it's 8 glasses a day. I think it's whatever you need, thirsty, drink. Okay, number five, what's your take? I think I'm doing okay on time. Number five, what's your take on raw milk? Ooh, yeah, what's your take on raw milk? Well, first of all, I'm not a big milk fan. I think that milk, especially in kids, causes a lot of allergies. But that might be because of the pasteurization that occurs. So pasteurized milk, where you are heating up the milk proteins, you break them into these weird foreign fragments of proteins that no one's ever seen. Your kid drinks it and they have some reactions to it. So maybe some of the milk allergies is really all linked to pasteurization. You know, raw milk definitely has solid whey proteins, casein proteins. It has probiotics. So I think if you're going to do milk, it might be best to do it in the raw form. That means you have to get it from a local farmer, or there are certain stores that do it. You can't sell them across state lines because you get in trouble. So I do like raw milk. It has to be consumed in a couple of days. I think it's better than pasteurization. I think pasteurization really causes some problems in milk products. So, yeah, I think raw is better at least. All right, there you go. 5 questions. I got through them all. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.